There was a moment like a year ago where I saw a Beyblade's YouTube video and I watched the first 10 seconds of it. And I thought to myself, my thought process was, I really like this. But then I said, I'm looking over the precipice of a wormhole that can consume the next like 5 months of my life if I choose it. Like every suggestion will be this. I will own four Beyblades. Do I cross the
Is
threshold?
this what you want?
Yes, exactly. I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, is this who you want to be? Two paths diverged in a wood and you can choose,
There are
but
two wolves inside of you, but
what is
no.
one place Beyblades? Welcome to Let's Learn Everything, the show where we learn anything and everything interesting. And today we're going to be learning about the most interesting thing, each other. We're doing a little end of year Q&A episode today, so we can take a break, look back on the year, and plan some exciting stuff for the new year. My name's Tom, and today we'll be answering, what made you interested in your science field?
My name is Caroline, and I'll be asking, what scientific breakthrough do you think would be responsible for the next technological revolution?
Oh, we're gonna go for that one. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, that's real heavy.
I was gonna pick like a silly one, but no.
My name is Ella, and today we are going to find out what science fact we like to bring up in a group of new people.
I love that one. Yeah.
So we're going to just jump straight into the questions. These have all come from our Discord server, which you can join at letsleareverythingpod.com if you want.
Thank you, everyone.
And we're going to start, I'm your question master today, and we're going to start with a question from big_science_energy.
Oh my goodness.
Why doesn't Ella, the largest host, not simply eat the other two hosts? Which I think
Oh.
is
So I
probably.
saw you ask this as a joke on the Discord. I didn't think you were gonna actually ask us this.
I think it's a great question. Why doesn't Ella just not eat you?
Right. So there's a really common misconception. So there's a concept in biology known as a symbiotic relationship in nature, and it happens all the time. So sometimes there will be larger species that coexist with smaller species, and that's sort of what's happening here, you know. We do beneficial things for Ella, and in return we don't get eaten. It's a very common.
I am a giant spider, and they are my tiny frogs.
Yay!
Can I be completely honest? I don't know what this says about us, but that is the exact relationship I was thinking about. Like I wasn't think I just love that. So wait, I think Carolyn did a video about this.
I
Do you want to just like
did.
briefly talk about this?
There's a species of, I think it's tarantula, that keeps a little frog as a pet, and the frog will eat things like ants that will sometimes eat the spider's eggs, and in return, the frog gets a little bit of shelter and
All right, we
protection.
can't do too much science, or else it turns into a regular episode, and then we get taxed differently.
Well, this is, to be fair, so many of these questions are about science. The next question is from one of our mods on Discord, the mod of War and Mischief, also known as Engals. What made you interested in your science field?
Yeah.
I have a really long and cute answer to this question.
Do it then.
Yay!
So this is like such a moment in my life, and I remember it so well. But when I was younger, we have like this tiny little pond in our back garden. I think I might have told you guys this story before. I
No.
have this tiny little pond in my back garden, and there was one summer where we let all like these little larvae grow in the pond, and every single day I went out with a tiny little sketchbook and sketched out all of the little larvae
Oh.
in this pond. And I
Oh.
genuinely think that's where like my love of animals and biology and art came from, because I literally spent every single day for like the whole summer. And then it was
Wow.
all like mosquitoes and like one tiny little mayfly. Like it
I
wasn't
was gonna
anything. Yeah. It wasn't
ask.
anything like that cool. But to me, it was like a really cool thing.
No, but that's amazing that you can find wonder in like literally pests, literally
That's
baby
so
pests.
cute.
I didn't know
And then I don't
that.
know if anybody else knew these books, but the Horrible Science books,
Yeah, it's by the like same people who do Horrible Histories.
they were a really, really big influence in my childhood. I loved those books so much. So I genuinely think those are
Wow.
like the things that actually got me into this stuff as a kid and then into this stuff as an adult as
That's
well.
That's very sweet.
That's amazing.
It's a cute one.
Did you, can I ask, so, and this is a real, like, newlyweds game right now. You are majoring in environmental ecology? Oh boy.
Close.
Oh, fuck!
I'm doing my master's in biodiversity conservation now.
Biodiversity conservation. I'm gonna write that down. well, y'all, let's just get these out of the way. What's also, when's your birthday? Favorite color? I just can't make these mistakes again. Okay. And did you know, like in high school, or I guess the equivalent in the UK, that you wanted to do that?
So I always, biology was like my best science as a kid growing up, and secondary school is our equivalent, I think. So that was like the one that I was getting A stars in doing my GCSEs. I did it for A level.
That's A plus, Tom.
Yeah.
I assume. I appreciate it.
So for me, like, I went to university not really knowing what I wanted to do, so I just did straight biology. I was like, I don't know what I want to do. I find everything a bit interesting. And then I did a module on, like, conservation work. And I was like, oh, no, this is definitely... this. It sort of confirmed it for me that that was what I really wanted to do, which was really nice. So, yeah.
Lovely. That is a very cute story.
It's a cute one.
You go, Tom.
I know y'all have heard this story before, but I'll say it because I'm sure some folks haven't. I went to school very specifically because I wanted to be an English and theater major, and I went to a school that had a good English and theater program.
You give like, off it was such like... theater major vibes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because I mean, I loved it in high school. I loved English and theater in high school. I like wrote a classic high schooler novel. I like wrote it out, and it's, I mean, it's like, it's right here. I still have a copy of it, obviously, because I'm conceited. But like, so I was like, yeah, I love this. I'm gonna go to school for this. And then what happened was that, so it was a liberal arts place, which means that you kind of study like a handful of things. You don't like just focus on one. So one of the requirements we had was you had to have one quantitative course, which could have been like a math or a science. You know, it's like your requirement so that you try a bunch of things.
Yeah, that's a good
idea.
And
so my mom was like, you should do computers. Computers are cool. And I was like, no, mom. I guess I'll give it a shot. And then I took one computer science course. My first semester, I took one computer science course, and I was like, oh no, I really like this.
Oh, that's good.
But then I'm gonna have to admit to my mom that she was right. And I mean, I just had the kindest professor in the whole world, who is just like such a sweetheart and took the time to answer everyone's questions. And yeah, I had never taken a computer science course before that. I had like fiddled with computers, like I was a big dork. And so like in retrospect, it made like perfect sense because like I'd love to fiddle with stuff. And then I also just liked making stuff in computers. Like it made perfect sense in my brain. And you know, all the like lighting and set stuff where I like to make stuff. I was like, okay, I see how the line goes there. And then the next semester I took one cognitive science course just because it seemed really interesting. I was really big into Radio Lab at the time. Like I loved that podcast, and there were so many interesting questions, and I felt like there were similar questions being asked in cognitive science. And so I took one class, and again had just one of an amazing professor. And I remember so clearly talking to my it's called a pre-major advisor, which is sort of like your advisor when you don't have a declared major yet at college. And he was in the media studies department originally. And I remember like when I first met him, I was like, yeah, I'm going to take all these English classes and like these, I'm going to try out for these theater things. And he was like, yeah. And then at the end of the year, I had to show him my transcript of like the classes that I was going to take next year. And he was like, sure are a lot of computer and cognitive science classes here. And I was like, yeah, I kind of like those. And so then ended up double majoring in cognitive science and computer science. And made that major advisor kind of sad, but made my other advisors happy, which is good. Ella, you You study. I know you very well, and I know that you're just about to wrap up your thesis in microscopes.
Yeah. I'm doing a PhD. I'm on a course called Cell Therapies and Regenerative Medicine, and I specifically look at like a cell therapy treatment for type 1 diabetes. So how I got to this point is through nothing nearly as like cute and inspiring as Caroline. or even to the level of like, oh, I just found this thing I was really interested in. I think maybe some people will be pleased to hear this. I started doing science because I was good at it. And because I like being good at something, right?
That's such a valid thing, though. Yeah.
So
yeah.
During my GCSEs, which is the exams you take when you're 16 in the UK, I was really good at science. And so I ended up doing... We start specialising super early in the UK. We do our A-levels, which is when you would do your SATs, Tom. And we just do 3 or 4 subjects. We drop everything else. And we just do 3 or 4 subjects. And I was like, I'm going to do... I started doing French, English literature, and biology, and maths. And then I dropped French and English literature and replaced them with, like, chemistry and psychology.
Damn!
Because I was like, I just can't do any of these other things. And then I thought I wanted to do medicine for the longest time. Because I really liked Scrubs. The TV show Scrubs. I really loved TV show Scrubs. I thought I could do medicine.
I want to say really quick just that, like, oh, never mind. I thought you meant just, like, the outfit. No. I'm sorry.
I thought I'd look really good in Scrubs.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a valid reason.
I really like the Zach Braff NBC comedy Scrubs. And so I decided I was going to do that. And then I realized, actually, getting into medicine is really hard. And I don't like people that much, like sick people. I was like, what can I do that's like medicine, but isn't that? And so we don't do majors in the UK. You just do like one straight degree. So I did biomedical science, which is like the study of human physiology and disease without dealing with the human part. And you do like lab work. It's how it's basically like the route that most researchers go through in some form or other, or like biology, strip biology. So I didn't do any plant and animal stuff, which... I'm still fine with today because I've just like never got it in my head. And then I didn't want to. I went and worked for a year in a like a stem cell startup lab, and I did loads of stem cell biology.
A while.
And I hated it.
A while.
Because it was a really weird environment, and also I didn't like being a real adult. Because I was 21.
Fair.
And so I decided to do PhD. So I started doing a PhD because I could, because I was academically good, and that is sometimes what is necessary to get to a PhD course. I don't think that's always true. It's just I knew how to use that. I want to go back into education because I can do that.
Yeah.
And this is so cynical. This whole thing becomes more and more cynical as it goes on. I started doing my PhD and I got to choose what... lab I ended up with. So I did rotations in different labs, and you know what, I don't like particularly love diabetes. Who loves diabetes? No one. Hopefully. I had a really good supervisor and a really good group, and he was going to let me do what I wanted to do. And I think in my head, and I think this is still true, especially if you're going to go into research, you can make yourself love like almost any kind of science, because you're going into like the kind of minutiae where you can direct yourself into like the specific parts you enjoy. I should say through all of this, I still love science through all of this. It's just like, it's not like one specific passion drove me forward. My love of science is quite broad still. And that's why I've ended up in science communication, because I want to keep it broad. Doing research is like so specific, and it's like, you've really got to have like a real drive in that area. But I still love what I do, and I love that I've been able to get to this point that's given me like the freedom to kind of explore it. But yeah, that's why I'm here, because I'm good at it.
Damn straight.
I think that's so valid, though. Like, important to say that, because there are some people who might be listening who are like, I want to get into this, but there's not a specific part of it that I'm absolutely in love with or that I've loved since I was a child. Like, do it anyway. You know?
I want to come at it from the other side, which is, even if you're not busting great grades out in science, you can still do that as, like, a career choice. I know people who have, like, gotten into PhDs at Cambridge, and they got a 2.2 at, like, university, mm-hmm. which is, like, what's the equivalent in the US? Like, a really low GPA. Like, just, you know, it's about... Because it comes to a point where it does become about, like, your capabilities as, like, a practical and thoughtful human being and not just your, like, what exam grades you can churn out.
How well you can recall certain pieces of information. Yeah.
Okay, next question.
Yeah.
This comes from Awesome Angle.
Wait, did we answer? Who gets points? Did we answer correctly? Did I get the right answer?
No, we all lose points. No, Caroline would definitely win the points on that round.
That's fair.
If you're listening, head over to the Discord server and tell me how much you loved my response to that. Thank you.
Okay, next question comes from Awesome Anglerfish. How did you get into SciComm/podcasting?
Yeah.
And actually, I want to start by saying, before anything else, I know that Tom already did a podcast before this, or edited a podcast before this at least. But I want to say about this podcast specifically, it was my idea.
This is true. Yeah. We can. I'll pull up the chat log. So
We had a chat on Instagram. And I was like half joking, half serious, like, we should do a podcast. And then I think Tom was like a driver, like, these things always fall through, so let's just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, okay, yeah, a handful of context. Well, one, I it's so funny you mentioned that, because I totally forget about that first podcast, because I'm using huge quotation marks, I don't consider it. It was a video game prediction podcast that me and two friends did. Like 2, 3, 4 years ago, just for fun, and but it was practice, like, and so now I use all of that to edit this, and like, I've learned so many lessons about how to host it and like the nitty-gritty details about how you publish and stuff like that. So it was like amazing practice, but at the time I remember feeling so down on myself, being like, well, we tried, and aww, now there's 4 episodes to this show that we you know, no one ever listened. The worst, we had one of our closest friends revealed to us, like, a few months ago, that he never listened to a single episode. Like, literally, the friend group is the three of us and him.
Oh,
and
that's
the vibe. But it's so funny you say that, Ella. It was 100% your idea, but I had secretly been hoping, like, I had been like, I would really like, but I didn't want to be too forward.
All three of us had that, yeah.
So as soon as you said that, I was like, as soon as you said that, I was like, yes, mm-hmm. And I had to play it off cool, be like, oh, what a cool idea. Wow, that's wild. I never thought about that.
I thought I'd stepped in it. Like, I thought I'd been, like, too forward with you guys when I first mentioned that, because you were both like, oh, yeah, that's cool, maybe. And it's like, all right. Actually, you know what? If you guys want to say how you got into SciComm in terms of, like, anything you do outside of TikTok plus TikTok, let's do that first. And then we can go back to how we got into the podcast, because the next question is from Crystal Nerd, and it's, how did you all meet? And that might tie in very well.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you get into science communication, Caroline?
I mean, I've never really done science communication before TikTok became a thing.
I mean, I think that's so many people on TikTok, though.
Mm-hmm. And, like, I remember I was painting some frogs at the time. So, like, my TikTok was an art thing.
Of course,
and I was painting some frogs, and I was like, oh, I'm going to make a video just talking about some, like, fun frog facts. And that video got like 2,000 views, and I was like, oh my god, this is incredible. Wow, 2,000 views.
Wild.
Oh my god. If you exist on Twitter at all, you will have seen this image floating around. Some people think he's a fat turtle. Some people just think he doesn't exist. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my time to shine. If you thought it was a fat frog, you'd be right. It's actually commonly known as a blunt-headed burrowing frog, or a balloon frog for obvious reasons. It's found in places like Cambodia, Thailand, Vietnam, and it spends most of its life underground. Basically only really comes out to breed. They usually look like this, or this. Sometimes they look like this guy. Yes, they can even look like this. Sadly, these guys are under threat. They're actually a delicacy in Vietnam. So due to overcatching, their numbers are slowly going down. As well as every animal's favourite friend, habitat loss. Humans suck. So now you know, animals like this exist, and they're really cool. A page is slowly turning into a frog page. And I just kept making them after that. Mm. And that aww, literally, like, propelled me from there. And then, like, and now this shit's happening and it's crazy.
That's so cute.
But yeah, like, apart from that, literally TikTok was what got me into all of this. Yeah.
I think that's totally normal.
Yeah.
What about you, Tom?
I back at school, because I was a TA for both of the sciences, and I really liked doing that because it's like a liberal arts place. I was a computer science TA for like CS 101 for people who are like dance majors or like studio art majors. And so like it's really, really interesting to like try to like find how to reshape the problem into a thing that makes, that connects with people, because yeah, like, and also because I was like a convert, right? I'm like 100%. I'm like spreading the good word about computers, like legitimately. I felt so, and so I loved doing that. And then I went into software development, and then I was doing that for the longest time, and I still am. And then during the pandemic, I was really sort of jaded with everything, and. I know y'all know the story, but I'll just say it real quick. So I had like made videos like here and there, like little YouTube videos, but I'd never done TikTok. And Hank posted a job application for...
Should mention, this is Hank Green.
Hank Green, yeah. Sorry. I cannot believe it.
My best friend, Hank Green, who I can now just call Hank.
My personal friend, Hank Green.
I walked right into that trap. I stepped on the rake and it hit me in the face, and I deserve that. Hank Green, who I've been a big fan of since I was a kid, posted a job application to be a SciShow staff writer, and I was like, I'll apply to it. I don't, you know, like what the heck? And one of the things they needed for the application was examples of science communication, and I was like, I have like one or two videos that kind of apply, because I've done some stuff, but nothing ever reached outside like my friends. And then I was like, okay, they need a video for this application. I have been meaning to learn how TikTok works. And there's also a video I've been meaning to do for the longest time about this story of how bees get jet lag. And so I was like, I'll do 3 birds, 1 stone. I'll just like make a TikTok. It took like 2 hours. I hated it by the end. I hated the video because I was just trying to figure out how to edit. And I was listening to my voice over and over. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is nonsense. But at least like someone that complexly will watch it. And then I sent it to 2 friends and I went to sleep and I had 2 followers, which were the 2 friends that I sent it to. And I was like, okay. And then I woke up and then I had a lot of followers all of a sudden, which was very strange. And I was like, this is hilarious. And I was like, I guess I'll keep doing that. I guess we'll see. College, I did my thesis on time perception, and I learned my favorite science story ever, which is how we learned that bees can perceive time. The experiment is pretty straightforward. A scientist put sugar water outside of a bee's hive every day at 4 p.m., and soon enough, the bees learn to leave the hive every day at 4 p.m., even when there's no sugar water. Therefore, these bees must be measuring and perceiving time. Whoa, 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 hold your horses. What if the bees are just doing something else, like measuring the angle of the sun? So they did the experiment again, in the dark this time, and the bees still come out at 4 p.m. Therefore, bees... Well, hold on, what if they're measuring the heat from the sun instead? These back and forths kept happening until they ended up recreating the experiment underground in a salt mine. And still, people were like, what if they're measuring the rotation of the Earth? How do we prove that bees perceive time? Until one scientist did the exact same experiment, not in a salt mine, but in Paris, and then flew the bees to New York City, where they left the hive, at 10 in the morning, because they had jet lag, because bees perceive time. And then, yeah, the bee TikTok did wild. It did very well. It like hit the top of Reddit for a little bit, which was really nuts. And then yeah, here
you are.
just kept doing that, which is wild.
That's cool. What about you, Ella?
I am an actual
this is what you do.
This is not what I think science and communication on TikTok is actual science communication, but I do science. I've been doing science communication in the real world, like as in on a public engagement level, for like a long time now. I've been doing it all throughout my PhD. in lots of different forms. One of the things I did is I made, like, with some art, some students, friends who are art students, they're computing art students, we made a physical, like, game based on my research where you, like, transplant cells into different organs, like,
wow,
that's so cool.
And you, like, pick them up and, like, it counts how many it's been transplanted. And we took that around to, like, a bunch of different places in the UK. New Scientist, you know, the journal slash they did this big, like, show festival thing called New Scientist Live, and we took it there. We had a stall there, and that was really fun. And then I ended up, like, winning this, like, award from the Royal Society of Biology for, like, the best public engagement and outreach for, like, a new researcher in the UK.
Wow.
Because I think it's because a lot of, like, the technical stuff about it, which is, like, getting, learning how to get feedback from people and how applying that to your science communication. It wasn't necessarily about the project itself, but, like, how you can be in, like, an effective science communicator. So I'm really used to, like, doing this, like, very hands-on science communication stuff, and I still really like doing that. And I started TikTok because one of the science communication things I wanted to do was this thing called the Bright Club, which is a stand-up comedy for scientists, which I have now done.
Yeah.
but only since, because it was just before the pandemic I started, and I wanted to, like, to practice these, some of the jokes. So I put them onto TikTok, and the second one, first video did pretty well. It got, like, 2,000 views, and I was like, oh, well, that's, like, really encouraging, because, like, I never would have thought, I was thinking maybe, like, 50 views if I was lucky. And then the second one got, like, 200,000, and I was like,
wow!
Yeah.
An actual moment from my actual PhD panel interview. So, your reference said you get very anxious around deadlines.
Yeah, but I feel like I really thrive under that kind of pressure, you know? It's really good for me.
You know there aren't many deadlines in a PhD.
Don't worry. I'll find something to be anxious about.
And I was like, oh, okay. Someone commented on that video. I've never felt so old. Someone commented on that video, oh, this really said for you, Paige. Like, oh... As in, like, this is funny. As
yeah,
in, this
yeah,
is
yeah.
me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, at the time, I thought... I thought that...
Ella.
That was so dumb. I was like, oh, if it says hashtag for you page, I didn't put that there. I'm not trying to get on anyone's for you page. I'm sorry.
Because I feel so icky hearing that. Oh, my God.
Because... You know when you scroll down the For You page and you see people put, like, popular hashtags and hashtag For You page?
Yeah.
I thought, oh, they must not put those there because that would be stupid.
Oh, I'm so sorry for stumbling on your For You page. I didn't mean to get any... I'm so sorry if I accidentally appeared on your For You page.
I wasn't trying to do that.
It's also... It's so funny because that's, like, the coolest... Like, if you get that comment, you're like, oh, you're, like, writing the whole day.
I know, and I had to delete the comment afterwards
because
I realized what he was saying, because he replied to me like, yeah, no, I'm just, yeah.
Oh, Ella.
I was like, oh
Ella,
no.
For anyone who doesn't know, like, the For You page on TikTok is just, like, it's just, like, the algorithm curates a feed of things that it thinks you would like. And so they were saying, like, wow, this For You page, it really is, like, a For You page, because it's, like, super relatable, but that's, oh, my poor heart. I'll trade another embarrassing thing. I think I've told you all this, that I, when, just thinking about college and sciences and stuff, when I first went into college, this was how, like, English and theater-minded I was, I thought that poli-sci meant, I don't know if that's a phrase that y'all use, poli-sci for political science. I thought that poli-sci meant multiple sciences, like the Latin prefix poly.
I also thought that that's what that meant when you just said it.
I think it's more of an Americanism thing to say poli-sci like that. But I was like, oh, that's so cool. You gotta, like, learn all the sciences. That's amazing. And then afterwards I was like, oh, okay.
No,
oh,
I just,
okay.
I had never felt my age so much after that. And I was like, oh, God.
So funny.
So
that's,
yeah,
delightful.
I posted my second video and I was immediately like, I don't understand what this platform is. I've
that
accidentally
is
come
so
in.
So funny, Ella.
Anyway, so then I ended up just staying on TikTok for ages, and it was very, like, up and down, but ultimately I've enjoyed it. And you know what? I took, I think I'm taking your advice, Tom, which is, like, as soon as TikTok starts feeling like work, then I have to, like, take a step back. because of like, I don't want
that's
it.
That's great advice. I don't remember saying that, but I'll take credit.
You
for sure.
Yeah, it was like when we were talking like during recording or something. And you and I was saying that I was fed up with TikTok and my views or whatever, and you were like, "Yeah, don't want it to feel like a stressful thing to do."
Mm.
It's like, yeah, you know what?
Well, good job, Past Tom.
Yeah, well done, Past Tom.
Well done, Past Tom. But this does lead into how we all got
exactly.
To, yeah,
and the question from Crystal Nerd: how did you all meet? We did all meet on TikTok.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think all of our first conversations on TikTok Live.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, no, we all ran into, we were all at a bookstore. we all had just like stacked, we all ran into each other at the same time while we were carrying books and we like, they dropped on the floor and we were all like, oh, I'm so sorry. And we were like helping each other pick up books. And I was like, wow, conservation science. That's fascinating. And wow, like human anatomy, this is a cool book. And then we realized that we should become best friends. And then
we touched hands and we're like, this is meant to
and
be.
And then we Freaky Friday'd, and then, you know, we learned about how difficult but beautiful each of our own lives could be, and then we swapped back, and then we were like, we should do a podcast about this.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the story.
Yep. All right, next question.
Such a classic Tom-like joke. It's something I've learned very quickly about Tom.
To Carolyn's point, yeah, I'll speak for myself. I think the first video of Carolyn's I saw was the one explaining the bleeding tree.
I love that video so much.
That is a type of bloodwood tree, and a very dramatic one at that. They're named bloodwood trees for obvious reasons. Their sap looks like blood. It's not blood. That red colour comes from the high amount of tannins in the sap. That's the same thing that's in wine. But it does serve a very similar function to blood. If we cut ourselves and we bleed, coagulants in the blood cause a scab to form, which promotes healing of our skin. When you cut open a tree like that, it's also vulnerable to infection, so it's really important that the tree blocks up the wound and promotes healing. And that's what the sap does. If you watch that video to the end, you actually see the flow of sap start to slow down, showing that it's doing its job properly. I'd like to point out that these trees aren't rare either. They're found across Australia and South Africa. They're just usually a bit less dramatic than this.
And so then I was just watching all of their content, and then they started doing lives. Well, you were doing like a lot of lives at the time. I think it was like during the summer.
I was really consistently doing lives during the summer. Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember hopping into one and just like talking. And then
you were telling me about bats.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was saying I was working on a bat video, and you were like, that sounds cool. And I was like, oh, they think it's cool. And then, I followed you, and then you followed me back, and then we started doing, we did like a live together, and that was like our first conversation.
Yeah.
It's very funny to think about this, and similarly with Ella, our first conversation was like on a one of those TikTok lives where you can do it live with each other. It's so funny to go back and see how polite we were with each other then versus like now, when we are just like any chance, we're just like demolishing each other. it's sharks in the water, baby. Any hint of blood, but like at the time we were like, hello, oh my god, that's so interesting, which is great. That makes me so happy that we are at this point. With Ella specifically, I don't know if I told you, I think I might have told you this. I had seen one of your, I think the first video of yours I saw was the science speed run video, and I loved that one.
Right.
And
no, you haven't told me that. tell me how good I am and how much you like my stuff.
Great, so now that we set up the lab bench for the experiment, we can split here, and we get to see one of my favourite strats of the whole run, which is removing just one glove and holding it in the other hand when you open doors, and this is going to save a lot of time overall. It's actually faster to run down the stairs to get ice. Ah, nice jump, that'll save some time. But it's quicker to get the lift back up, so we press the button here, so that when we return with the ice, it's already loaded and we don't have to wait. The community found this great glitch for labelling tubes, which is to not label them properly and just number them and hope you remember it later. As we finish labelling tubes, it actually triggers the lab manager mini boss fight. To save some time, we can avoid the cutscene by just hiding behind this fridge and just idling here for about 30 seconds. Unfortunately, there are just no good strats for pipetting. You just have to have your technique down. You can see I lost my pipette tip here. That's going to lose me a couple of seconds. As we approach the final supervisor boss fight, you can see we've actually gotten here so quickly that the area's not even loaded in.
I thought that was amazing. I sent it to a bunch of my friends, and then I followed you. And then I remember one of my biggest videos was actually a stitch to an answer that you had. You were like, what's a talent that you learned from your work or something like that?
Yeah.
I want to know what kind of useless skills people have picked up from their job, school, or hobbies.
So, in college, I released a video game with two friends, and I was responsible for all the programming and all the art, so I got really used to working with RGB values, which is when you represent a color as three numbers, the amount of red, the amount of green, and the amount of blue. And we were recording a playtest one time, and I was just like, y'all, I have been working with these values so much, I feel like I could guess any color I see in real life and guess the three values. And so a friend of mine was wearing nail polish at the time, and I tried to guess the values, and this is what happened.
The reason this is the first TikTok of yours I ever saw, and
okay, can I say so I made that stitch, and I was like, secretly I was really like, maybe she'll notice that I did that and then we can become friends, but
it was actually you did the exact opposite thing. You made me dislike you so much. It wasn't that I personally disliked you. It was that what happened is that video got huge and it went onto Reddit, and a bunch of my friends sent it to me. They were like, oh my god, you're on the front page of Reddit. And it was stitch of me, and then it was the rest of your video. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, who the fuck is this? All my friends, they're sending me this. They said,
I had no idea.
They sent it me from Reddit, they sent it me from Facebook, they sent me from like loads of platforms because it's got like huge. And I was like, this is infuriating. I didn't even realize when I saw, because I started following Caroline before I was following you, I saw you and Caroline on a live together, and I think I was I was watching it, and I was like, oh, he seems cool.
This fucker.
No, I didn't realize it was the same person, and I was like, oh, he seems cool.
Oh my God.
I ended up doing the live with you even before I did it with Caroline, even though I'd been following Caroline longer, and then it was like, I think it wasn't until after we were like friends that I realized it was you, and I was like, oh, it's a good thing I didn't fucking realize.
That's absolutely incredible. Oh my goodness.
That's amazing. That's so funny. I had no idea. That's so funny. What I was going to say was that I always thought that you hated me because you never commented on that, but now I realize that you never did. But the truth is you did.
No, I'd never seen the video. I never saw it on TikTok once. And I think to this day, I still have not seen it on TikTok. It never came up on my, even though it, in theory, it should have, because it's like my own stitch and did but like never saw it.
That's so funny.
Wow.
And I stitched another one of yours that was like the, as many science puns as you can.
Oh yeah, I did see that one. That took ages as well. I only saw that when I went onto your actual profile. I was like, oh. I like commented like I'd just
like
seen this
months later, and I was like, "Oh, okay." I thought you just saw that and were and then
no,
hated me.
I'm like you. I see Caroline's all the time, and it never shows me yours TikTok.
That's so funny.
Never shows me your videos. I don't know why.
Oh my god, that is so funny.
I see both of yours on the LLE, the Let's Learn Everything TikTok account, where I have perfectly curated it to only receive science content.
So can I ask, how do y'all know each other?
No, I was following Caroline, and then I think I came onto your lives. You knew who I was, and you mentioned me to Caroline, and then I think that's how it went from there.
That was how I became aware of you, was Tom mentioning.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, I guess I should follow this person.
And then you did, and then I like messaged you. I was like, we should do a live one day together, because it was really cute, you guys doing it. And so I think it just led from there. And then obviously we ended up with the Instagram chat. Because you, I think mostly because Tom wanted to send memes.
Okay. I'm looking at the chat. Literally, we started a group chat on Instagram because I had just gotten this plush of a Animal Crossing leaf.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I did like a joke, and that's literally the first thing. I just like threw it on the ground as a joke.
And of course, Caroline's never played Animal Crossing, so it really just went down like a lead balloon. I thought it was funny, but Caroline was like, I don't know what that is.
I was just like, I don't know what's going on here.
This is only like 3 or 4 chats down. This is Ella. This is what a consummate professional Ella is. This is a few. Congrats on 200K, Tom. Blah, blah, blah. Also, we should start a podcast.
I don't know. I've wanted to start a podcast for so long, but my only content is like me talking shit. And I was like, wait, I can talk about science, but I can't just me talk about science. So I was like, wait, I now have friends who talk about science?
Oh.
That is the other thing. Speaking to like those lives that we did, those are so... amazing. I can only speak for myself, but like they're so amazing because so much of as great as like TikTok science communication is, it's very it's pretty like isolated. I mean, because we're all still in like quarantine at this time, and so like I'm making these videos and like people are commenting, but like I'm not having conversations with these people.
Yeah.
And so those were some of the first like conversations I was having with other like science creators, and it's something new, right? It's a unique thing that's different from like making TikToks, is having these conversations. And I was like, oh, this is great.
You sent that video in the Discord like last week, the week before, about it was like Hank and John saying that they were lucky to have contemporaries who were going through the same things as them.
Mm-hmm.
Content creation.
I feel like Hank and I are really lucky that we have each other, because if we didn't, I wouldn't have a peer. And now I have a colleague.
It's very hard to do this on your own.
Who understands what it's like from the inside.
And that is exactly, as you said, what it is like between the three of us. Because it's hard to experience these things on your own. Like, you just don't know where you're at. If you can see how other people feel, then you can get a better sense of, like, the environment and really understand what you're doing. If that's where we are, I think. In a lot of ways. So thanks, guys.
I will say to the podcast, one interesting thing that I did with the first show I did, and I'm really glad we did it here, was we did 2 test episodes that were unreleased, and just to like see if we could do it, and also like iron out the kinks. And I think that was really, really helpful to making sure that we could do it. And so we didn't just like jump in. We weren't just like, let's just do it. There was a lot of discussion and a lot of planning up ahead of time.
We did like a month at least of prep before we started. Fully. We weren't just like, let's open our laptops and start recording.
Yeah.
This is a question from Mod of Solidarity and Worker Power, who I think is your friend, Tom.
Yes, that's Danelle. Good friend.
Danelle. And the question is, what is the science fact you like to bring up in a group of new people? I've got mine straight off the bat. So while you're thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Drosophila sperm is six times the length of its own body.
What?
Oh, my God.
Drosophila are about 2-3 centimeters long, and their sperm is about 20 centimeters long.
What?
Yeah.
That's horrifying. That's,
it's really like, it's very, very thin and very tightly coiled.
That's fascinating.
That's a really good one.
Wow.
If you want some more, the female Drosophila, they store multiples of those sperm inside of them. And then they choose, like, their body, like, chooses one to fertilize themselves.
Wow.
I'm obsessed with this fact. I used to work,
No, that's amazing. Because just, like, the implications onto our assumptions about how reproduction works, right? Like, it's like, that's...
Yeah, the size is thought to be a, like a competitive mechanism. Like, the reason they've gotten bigger and bigger over time is, like, competitive resistance between the males. Bonkers.
I love that so much.
Also, it's like, haha, funny sperm.
Yeah, exactly. But also, I mean, it's like...
That's good.
It's 1,000 times longer than human sperm.
Boy, howdy.
Oh my God.
That's a good one.
That's
I might steal that one.
I've made multiple videos. Like, I think every 6 months I make a video about that in the hope that, like, it'll just, like, go viral. I'm like, this is your, like, bi-yearly...
Public service announcement.
This is your bi-yearly reminder.
To be fair, I did that with the we used to use frogs as pregnancy tests video. Because the one that did really well for me on TikTok was the second time that I was talking about it. I'd made one video and it got like 5,000 views and I was really happy with it at the time. And then I talked about it again, literally like 2 months later, and it got like 200,000 views. And it was just like, this is ridiculous. It's the exact same fact.
I still haven't done this one and that's been picked up. And most things I just like accept that, like, okay, this is not going to go viral on TikTok. Mm. It's not for the people. I refuse to accept that people don't want to hear this fact. So I'm literally going to keep on saying it until it goes viral.
It's amazing.
It's such a good one.
I messaged this to Hank while I was drunk.
Oh, this is the... We've heard of this message. I didn't know the content.
Oh, is this Hank Green?
Oh, Hank Green, yeah.
Oh,
Hank Green.
Oh, Hank. Wait, who? Is this just this? A friend of yours, Hank?
Wirt. Hank Wirt.
I would like to... this is a really sore spot for me because both Tom and Ella are mutuals with Hank Green on TikTok, and I am not, and I'm angry.
That's
about
why we
it.
Started the podcast.
Yeah, it was just
it's a campaign
it.
To
yeah
to
so,
get you
Hank Green. You're not listening, but if you are, please follow me back on TikTok.
2022, it's the year, baby.
It's my year.
At the start of the podcast, when we said plans for the new year, that's what we were talking about. is that I don't know if I have a good one. Honestly, can I be honest? I like talking about the facts from the podcast more than I do the facts from my TikToks, just because they're already like conversational in nature, if that makes sense. Like I love talking about which animal has the most bones, because it's such an open-ended question, and then people have guesses, and then yeah, it's interesting to see where people's thoughts go versus like a prepackaged fun fact kind of a thing. Although, to be fair, that, again, that sperm one, I'm still reeling over.
Yeah, I mean, that is the best prepackaged fun fact.
That's fantastic.
But even that one, what I like about that, the best science facts are ones that, like, lead to conversation.
It's people's reaction to that fact that is the best thing. It's what, the fact is amazing, but, like, seeing you guys be, like, horrified and amazed is what I get out of it, right? Like, if I was just saying it, then it and everyone just stood there silent, like, I'd be like, well, what was the point of that? So I get it.
I have in the past tried to, like, drunkenly explain my thesis, and it's a real hit or miss. It's really hard to, like, nail that flow of the, like, I tried to do the thing from the first episode with, like, the clap sometimes, and, like that again, that's a real hit or miss. And so it's nice now I know that if I'm ever at a party and like I want to like explain a fun fact, I'll just like play episode one of the podcast for them and then just like watch their reaction. So it's great. Carolyn, do you have one?
Honestly, I'm in exactly the same boat. Maybe the frog pregnancy test one, because it's one that gets quite a nice reaction.
That one's
from
great.
People.
I thought of anyone who would have loads of facts about it.
You're
such an animal fact person.
Yeah. The issue is, I guess, pandemic times have been a thing. I've not really met many people to share these facts with, so I don't even know what works well and what doesn't. I've not had practice with, like, trialing a bunch of facts. Yeah.
I haven't run my clinical fact trials.
God. But, like, when I'm talking, like, with my flatmates about stuff, I'll go into the kitchen and be like, I learned these things from the podcast. And that's the science stuff that I'm talking about with people at the moment. So I'm in a very similar boat of just like, if there's somebody near me and I want to spew science facts at them, it's probably like right after the podcast. And I'm just like, you need to hear all the garbage that's currently in my brain.
I definitely talk about stuff I've learned from you guys on the podcast, like all the time to people.
There's nothing like there are. It's great to have like these go-to facts, but there's like nothing better than like the high when you like you found like a great paper or you just learned something amazing, and then like you happen to run into some of that light, you're just like, okay, this is amazing. like I just learned this and this and this, and I hope that's what I mean. I definitely feel that with the podcast also, but like, that's like the best feeling. Look at this.
Was AI generated meals, was that on one of the earlier episodes? Did we publish that episode?
No, that was on a pre-episode.
Okay, so
yeah.
The pre-episode Tom was talking about AI. It was a whole big thing, but like part of it was AI generated recipes. Mm-hmm. And I literally lost my fucking shit. Like, I cannot tell you, to this day, I still show people these AI-generated recipes, like completely, aww, completely Meat Circle has just... I like will read like the recipe of Completely Meat Circle to like anyone who will listen to it to me. I'm like,
I am so glad, and you know, I'm so excited to pull out the fan fiction game,
Top
pairings. I'm so excited to do that with friends. But those two test episodes will be made available next year. We'll talk about that soon, eventually, hopefully in the new year. But we keep mentioning them, and they will become available. So, because I think they're great, they're good.
Through some mean or other, watch this space. Hint. Okay,
watch this space.
Let's bash through three quick questions.
Let's do it.
Okay, because these are all.
Who's in the lead, by the way? I think it's Carolyn. Carolyn with 3 points. I have.
I definitely just won that one.
Oh, for sure. You actually had a fact. Yeah.
Okay. This next one. Well, yeah. No. You can a little bit of discussion's fine, but we want some snappy answers. This is from Snowspring 9. Hi, Snowspring. Favorite animals and or plants, specific or general.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Oh gosh! As you see, I say it, and then immediately both your faces go. I'm going to talk a lot about this.
I have my answers.
I really like frogs. Obviously, that's my general one. Shocker!
You know, right?
But my favorite specific animal is not a frog. It's the immortal jellyfish.
Wow!
I love it so much. But also, like,
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Brief discussion. My favorite animal changes every single week.
I believe that, yeah. mine changes a lot, yeah.
I feel like we've all talked about how often bees are in science.
Bees are a very unifying animal between the three of us, actually. We've all made, like, good bee content.
That's been completely different.
I'm in the process of writing a 3,000-word essay on bees. I'm like...
I think those little dudes are amazing. I think bats are so wild as like a flying mammal, like that alone, and then also echolocation, and also they're adorable. They're little sky dogs. They're extremely underrated. Bats are amazing. Their hand wings. I think also octopi and squids are really fascinating.
So cool.
Cephalopods are really
interesting. They're so smart as well. They're amazing. They're so interesting.
There's a great book called Other Minds that's about them. But then also, I really love sea slugs. I don't know why.
Oh, sea slugs are just delightful.
There's just so many, and they're so beautiful. They're like, absolutely, like, they look like paintings. And my favorite is Hermacenda. One time I was at a museum, I was at an aquarium, and there was like this huge tank full of like jellyfish, and there was one lone like tiny Hermacenda. I was meeting like a celebrity. I spent like 20 minutes just like looking at this little guy crawl across. Ella, what about you?
I like moths.
Yeah.
Of course.
I like moths. That's it. I'm not even gonna add another. I think they're really pretty. They're just basically, like, honestly, I think that you can get way better moths than you can get butterflies. So, and also, they're really fuzzy and dumb, and I like that. this is back to Mod of War and Mischief, favourite movie.
This changes every single week for me.
Yeah.
But I watched Interstellar for the first time the week before, and that blew me away. So currently... Interstellar is probably my favourite movie.
I think that's probably a good choice.
It's a solid one, yeah.
I'm going to go with The Martian.
Ooh, yeah.
I still haven't seen that.
I've seen it loads of times, and I've read the book several times. It's an amazing adaptation from the book. And it's like, it's, you know, hard science fiction, so it's like as accurate as you're gonna get, but it's done, and I think I read hard science fiction sometimes, and I find it really difficult because of like you're trying to be accurate in a way that's not accessible. The Martian is like is very, very accessible, so it's not just like, it's good science fiction, it's good entertainment, it's all around good, and it's very fun.
My favorite is also a really hard science movie, and it's definitely Demon Slayer Mugen Train, which is the film, the continuation of the Demon Slayer series. And I cried like 5 separate times at the movie. I think it's just beautiful. I think that series is wonderful. What's it called? I think I mean that unironically. I think I do really like that movie. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, I love. I think also it actually is kind of, there's lots of like sci-fi elements to, or there's a lot of science elements about.
I think Eternal Sunshine is science fiction. Like that's like the whole memory wiping thing. Like that's totally.
It's really, and it's also just like beautiful. I also really like the Lego movie. I don't know why. I think
it's just a great movie. It's like very well done. It's just a shame it's like corporate propaganda.
And then also Live, Die, Repeat or Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh my God. Edge of Tomorrow is so good. Like it's as amazing. A video game concept film.
They use like every ounce of that concept. And it's amazing. Why I love it.
I love time loop movies, right? Anything with a time loop, I'm obsessed with. And Andy Samberg did this one called Palm Springs.
I've heard that's amazing. I need to watch that.
A really excellently good time loop movie in the like on the more romance side, and this is very more on the action side.
Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah. Although no, come on, that last scene.
Oh. I mean, it has romance in it, but I'm saying it isn't a romance film, and it's not.
Sure.
Okay, this is from Jungle Spider. What advice would each of you give to someone wanting to start creating content for TikTok?
Don't be disheartened when you don't get views.
Yeah.
I spent months getting like a maximum of 500, and then I did one video about frogs and that like propelled me off. But I like started doing videos back in September of 2020. And I don't think I started blowing up properly until like March of 2021. So I was on it for a while. Yeah.
And that's like and the opposite way around is true. Like if you have like some good video ideas and you get them out there and you blow up, don't be disheartened if like it then goes down quite a lot.
Yeah.
Because TikTok's algorithm is
against you. It's at like all very, times.
Honestly, I think it probably is actively working against some people. Mm-hmm. I don't know what makes it do that, but like, and it's very fickle. So like, you absolutely what Caroline says, don't be disheartened. You just have to kind of, if you're enjoying what the content that you make, then that is what matters. Don't try and pander to the algorithm, because I've done that as well and it feels not good.
And also just like this is like how I feel about TikTok is if the only reason that you're making TikToks is to gain followers, maybe reconsider why you're doing it. If you're making videos because it's something that you're genuinely interested in, or because it's practice for something, or whatever, like that's totally valid. But if you're just doing it for internet clout, maybe just reconsider that.
When my barometer for whenever like I'm like, is this funny or is this good or should I make this, is usually like, will my friends laugh at this or will they like this?
Yeah.
And often I'll feel really stressed out leading up to publishing it. Like I'll be like, oh, I don't know if this or this or this. But like the moment I send it to a friend and they like reply, ha ha ha, I'm like, that's it. Like that, that video has done its job for me.
Yeah.
Like at this point, it could disappear from the face of the earth. The other thing I really like, what I love the most about TikTok science communication is that there are so many amazing, unique perspectives.
Mm.
Like I feel like there's people who come in from the outside typically feel like, you know, like, oh, who are like, who's the like Bill Nye of TikTok, or like who's the like who's the Carl Sagan of TikTok? And like what I love about the platform is that there are so many voices that now have a platform for the first time. Like one of the videos, and now Lindsay Nicole is huge, which is all power to her.
Mm-hmm.
But there is one of her videos that I think about all the time is which species of bat you are based on your zodiac sign.
Mm-hmm.
And like Bill Nye could never.
Yeah.
like that's such a beautiful Venn diagram of interests that isn't, it's not mine, but so many people love it. And like that makes me so happy. And seeing folk that is for me what I love the most about that. So I think trying to make stuff that you like is a good way to do that instead of trying to replicate X, Y, or Z person.
Yeah. Yeah. That's excellent advice.
And then also take a break if it gets too much.
Please do.
Yeah.
I will say, I will add on, this is not really advice. I'm just saying that some of the videos I've liked the most have not done very well, but I know that you two have liked them. Like, so I Which is weird because it's like creators liking content is not necessarily representative of what people who don't make content will like. But I made that video, which is like a my song, Big Science Energy. She's got big science energy. And like, and Caroline commented on that, like, this is the best thing I've ever seen. And I was like, you know what? That's enough for me. That's fine.
I love that.
And I really enjoyed making that video. And it just wasn't like, it wasn't going to, you know, get out there, but it was still very fun to make. Okay, lovely. Next question. This is maybe a quick one. Johan, favorite quote from anything?
Shit.
I can cheat because I actually I have a list of quotes that I like, so maybe I'll pull from that. But if I'm like being completely honest and not cheating and pulling fucking like Shakespeare or something, the one that I do actually remember,
you don't have to remember it by heart for it to be your like favorite quote.
The one that I do remember and I do like it is there's a line from Community, the TV show, that goes. I think it's something Abed says, and he goes the present that we hold so dear used to be the future that we were afraid of. I think about that all the time when the future is like so scary, but then you realize that like where you are right now that you wish you could stay in used to be the future that you were like terrified of. And I think about that all the time. But
that's really nice.
I'll be really easy. I don't think I have a favorite quote.
That's fine. I think that's normal. Like, it's like people who like, some people have like favorite pieces of art or something. And I don't like, that's not something I ever. Okay, so this is a quote from a poem called The Mower by Philip Larkin. And I'll read the end part of, my supervisor has this up on his in his office. It's like three lines, which from a larger poem. I'll read the whole poem as well because the context makes it, it doesn't matter. Okay, so.
I can't wait.
We should be careful of each other. We should be kind while there is still time, is the quote. And I thought that's really, really lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like it. And then the whole poem, it's not very long. The Mower by Philip Larkin. The mower stalled twice. Kneeling, I found a hedgehog jammed up against the blades. Killed. It had been in the long grass. I had seen it before and even fed it once. Now I had mauled its unobtrusive world. Unmendably. Boreal was no help. Next morning, I got up and it did not. The first day after a death, the new absence, is always the same. We should be careful of each other. We should be kind while there is still time.
Wow.
And I think like when you read it in like that just like little bit, you think, oh, that's a bit soppy. And then you read the whole thing and you're like, oh.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was fully like, that's a pretty like a white person thing to say.
Pretty like cross-stitchable.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
But when you read the whole thing, it's just like, oh, I hurt now.
I just think it's very, like, I don't know. I like the idea. I think it's very sweet.
Yeah. That hit me in the feels a little bit.
I found from my list my most recent favorite one from Toni Morrison, which is, at some point in life, the world's beauty becomes enough. You don't need to photograph, paint, or even remember it. It is enough. I think about that all the time. Oh,
my goodness.
That's very
you
sweet.
You two are both so profound. And I was like, oh, I have one.
I don't think it, like, I think, you know, the thing is, you relate to those things too, Caroline. I think a lot of it is like mm-hmm. exposure because I don't have lots of favorite poems or quotes and stuff normally. It's just like, if I happen to be exposed to something like that, I'm like, you know, you'll internalize it in the same way I think you probably will. So, you know, don't beat yourself up for being uncultured.
We also read these questions ahead of time, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I did not do this.
Also, for the longest time, my favorite quote was a Winnie the Pooh quote, and I still really love that
that's
quote.
Great.
So it's, I can't remember it specifically, but it's something like your
honey.
Honey. It's Christopher Robin talking to Winnie the Pooh, and he says, you're smarter than you think and braver than you believe and kinder than you know, or something like that. And
I'm gonna fucking cry.
we need to move on to the next question.
I know,
immediately.
Just
oh, please fly sperm. Oh, God.
So this one, Caroline, you mentioned at the start, it's from Conte. What scientific breakthrough do you think would be responsible for the next technological revolution?
God.
I'll start because I have it. Well, there's this, so I just want to say for the listeners, every time I ask a question where there's like a little bit of thought that goes in, Tom and Caroline both look up to the side in exactly the same way. Like, their heads, like, tilt up, and they just, like, gaze up to the ceiling.
Well, that's where my teleprompter is.
And they both go, and Tom goes, wow, and Caroline goes, It's so funny.
God, called out.
It's so cute.
Good grief.
I'm going to go with, I think from a biological kind of viewpoint, I don't necessarily think this is the most, but within my field at least, is a CRISPR-Cas, which is like, yeah, is a, like a gene editing technology. There are things that are very similar to it as well. There's a book called Change Agent, which is like set 30 years in the future about a world where like gene editing is, it can be done like through backdoor means, and you can like change all this stuff. It's like pretty dumb science fiction. But I met the so I met the woman who is like responsible for CRISPR.
Oh wow.
One of the like discoverers of CRISPR. She's called Jennifer Doudna.
Whoa.
She did a talk at my at my university, and I talked to her afterwards, and I was telling her that I was reading this book, Change Agent, and I was like, what do you think about it? Like, about what people are predicting for CRISPR in the future. And she was just like, it's dumb.
Oh my god. I mean,
she didn't say it was dumb. I think she was like more tact than that, but she was very
right,
much like,
right, but
I guess, yeah. I think it's going to change like the way we do research in like a very big way, particularly the way we use like animals and research and human tissues and that kind of thing. But I don't, it's not going to be like a technological revolution in the sense that, like, I don't know. Yeah. I think maybe Tom might be better for this in terms of actual technology. Although I consider things something like CRISPR like a technology, but
like, if I'm being completely honest, having been studied computer science and then been in the industry, I am like so jaded to, that's the thing I've learned, is to be completely jaded to a lot of tech evangelism, like all the Web 3.0, I personally think that, I don't think that self-driving cars, that's a whole other topic we can debate about the efficacy of self-driving cars and the viable nature of that.
I don't have good feelings about them based on the news I hear about them.
Not at all.
We can get into it. I think it's like asking a car to solve a fundamentally human problem, because you have to deal with other human beings, and we aren't talking enough about that. Anyway. So I don't know. I think,
what would the self-driving car do during the trolley problem? That's what we need to know.
We can't. You're pressing all my buttons. You're like, you want me to go off on this rant.
Oh, you should definitely do a trolley problem-esque like topic or question.
Well, yeah. Because it does go into both sides of things.
Mm-hmm.
I think like, I don't think like deep computation is going to make any huge, huge change. I think the accessibility of computers is going to be the biggest change when it comes to technology. Like, being able to, I think that's one of the biggest things. And then maybe like there will be smaller uses of AI to automate smaller things, but no like human replacement. Like, that's not, I'm very, 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 very not, I don't have any high hopes for that. I also weirdly, I think in doing some of this physics research, I think there's a lot that is still unknown when it comes to really big things and really small things. And so I think there's definitely huge potential for like big shifts in how we think about some of those things from the physics side of things. Yeah.
I have a tech question. I feel like I heard someone who does techie stuff talking about it, and this idea, like, what's the next breakthrough? And I feel like what he said was basically when we can store things smaller. Like, you know, the idea of, like, we started with computers, which are the size of a room, and now we're on, you know, in a handheld device or whatever.
Yeah,
and he was like, the next step is just making everything, like, smaller. Everything become, like, but not in the way that I'm thinking of it, like screens. I mean, like actual data storage. Yeah. Is that right? Is that like a step?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's definitely been like a big revolutionary change is being able to have microprocessors in like everything, right? In like just basically able to do computate like decisions in small spaces is definitely, I would say, a big change, more so than like actually how we compute is being able to do these. But it's interesting because I think there's always been this assumption that things can always be exponentially smaller. It's called Moore's law. That's the idea that things get exponentially smaller and exponentially faster at computing. But I think realistically we're actually starting to hit a point where there are like some physical limitations and some manufacturing limitations that has made that exponential curve go a little slower than people were betting on, I think. But again, this is a whole other thing. I'm pretty, for a tech person, I'm pretty jaded about tech. I don't think it's going to save anyone necessarily. I think that's a little misguided to think that like the world will be saved by a perfect startup. I don't think that's going to happen. If that means it makes any sense.
To be fair, the question was not necessarily about what will save humanity, but what will be the next technological revolution, which is like could be a bad thing. Okay, so next question from Simoli. What do you dream about at night and why?
I actually did. I read this question beforehand and I thought back to a dream that I had not too long ago because it was fucking wild. I won't go into the long of it, but basically I was trying to make a decision about what my dissertation, my research project should be for my program. And I had a dream that night that goblins and gremlins were going to eat me if I didn't make a decision.
Oh my god.
What?
So, yeah.
I'm a big heights and falling nightmare person.
Yeah.
Get those all the time. I also, because I am a theater kid, I do still. I will never. That's the thing they don't tell you about doing theater, is that for the rest of your fucking life, you're going to have nightmares where it's like, it's the night of the show, here are the things, and you're like, oh no, I didn't rehearse! They don't tell you that's mm-hmm. that's for the
even
rest of your life.
I was a sort of theater kid when I was like really little, and even I still deal with those horrific dreams, so I feel your pain a little bit there.
Yeah, stress dreams are so like interesting because they happen so consistently for your life. Sorry if you're young and you were expecting for your exam. You've missed the exam. You've slept in and missed the exam. Stress dreams stop because they don't stop. And I get them as an adult, and I don't do exams.
No. Although I will say, there is no better joy than waking up from that and going,
and being like, oh my gosh, I don't have one. And the very last question, which I'm kind of setting up here, but it's from Snowspring again, and it's what topics/hints to topics will we see in the future? And I'm going to hijack this question, not as a what topics will you see in the future, but what will you see from us next year?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a little hint, if you've gotten this far into the episode, about what you will see from Let's Learn Everything next year. You may be seeing special guests, science guests, ooh, science communicators, ooh, and scientists that we know and have reached out to, and some have confirmed that they would be happy to come and talk to us. It's not going to be like a normal kind of just Q&A situation. We're hopefully going to get them involved in the way that we do the podcast, where they'll come and ask a question and we'll kind of tackle it.
It's like genuinely so exciting. Like it's mm-hmm. it's folks that I'm like genuinely like I'm so excited to learn from them and also just to chat. It's really I'm hype.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really, really good. We won't say anyone yet because we need to confirm all that stuff. But, I think we have some really interesting and good people lined up. And then the next little hint is, well, it's not a hint, is we're
I feel like we've dropped it a few times.
We're
but
just going to tell you.
Yeah, we're going to stop. Yeah. We're going to stop. Is there anything else you guys want to plug or hint?
Yeah, I'm excited for our video game tie-in. That'll be really cool. I think we have a cameo at the end of the new Spider-Man movie. Keep an eye out for that.
Yeah. I'm going to see that on Monday. Very excited. I'm also in the new Matrix film.
Oh, great!
I'm one of the bullets they fire at Neo. lovely. Okay.
I just wanted to. Can I read one review?
Oh yes, of course.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so this is
I like this, by the way. I like that you always read a review at the end.
Yeah.
I think this should never stop.
It's really sweet, yeah.
This is a wonderful review from Runaway Lemons, from the Netherlands. And they say, "This is my favorite new podcast. I've listened to a lot of science podcasts, my previous favorite being SciShow Tangents. And I'm very happy to have found this one. I think our friend Hank, is he on that one? I don't know, maybe.
A good friend, Hank, yes. I don't know, I've never heard of
it. Yeah, I should support him as a friend, you know.
We should probably, yeah.
Yeah, help him out, give him a hand, yeah. After we dethroned him. Oh, God. The hosts are entertaining and knowledgeable, and the podcast overall has a great production quality. I definitely recommend listening to this. Smiley face.
Oh, that's so sweet. And the production quality, of course, due to Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
That's why I picked it. Add that to your reviews. I'll definitely know.
Thank you, Runaway Lemons.
Runaway Lemons.
Thank you, Runaway Lemons. And
we, very kind.
We genuinely read all of your reviews, and we really appreciate them. It really helps the podcast. So if you want to leave a review, please go and do that on Apple Podcasts if you have access to that. Because even though most of our listeners are on Spotify, you still can't review anything on Spotify, which is dumb.
Strange.
But there you go. Also, if you have any questions for us, any comments, you can either do that on the Discord at letslearneverythingpod.com, or you can email us directly if you have something a bit more personal to say at letslearneverythingpod@gmail.com.
Nailed it.
You can also find all of our socials on the website. I'm not going to read them out. They're all slightly different.
So today, we learned a little bit more about each other. I'm surprised how much I learned about y'all. I thought I was gonna,
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was really nice.
And you can join us all next time in the new year as we continue to learn about everything.
Let's Learn Everything is independently produced and hosted by Ella Hubber, Tom Lum, and Caroline Roper. Editing and music by the wonderful and talented Tom Lum. Perfect timing. Well done, guys.
Oh, wonderful. That was perfect timing.
All right, get the fuck out of here, Carolyn. Go to your family.
Get out of here. All right.
Can you imagine having a family?
Gross.
I'm going to go hang out with it's my D&D group, y'all.
Oh, okay. That makes so sense. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Much more reasonable, right?
Send them all my best.
I will send them your love, absolutely.